Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I'm Travis Croden. You're listening to Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast. Today, I'm joined by my two lovely co-hosts, the birthday girl of many celebrations, Gwen Flamberg.
That's me. Don't stop. Keep it rocking.
And the woman coming for all of Vanessa Hudgens' gigs, wearing sneakers to music festivals, Sarah Heron.
Hi, Travis.
Hello. Well, guys, today we have Freedom. Gwen calls the return to set. That will make sense later. A lesbian space commune, pansexual alien encounter, and much, much more. Never thought I'd say this in this podcast, but here we are. But as we do, let's start with our woes of the week. This is what made our co-hosts and hosts go aghast and just have a minor freak out and just be bewildered and bedazzled. Sarah Heron, what made you bewilder and bedazzled this week?
We're going to do a Bachelor-themed woe. Because I haven't been able to talk about this on the Bachelor podcast yet because there's been so much VIP drama to unpack. First of all, you know, RIP Clarendale, they have called it quits again. Not so woe-worthy, but just important to, you know, keep the people updated. My bigger woe was Jesse Palmer, set to host The Bachelor. It's a woe for two reasons. One, I can't believe I didn't think of this because it's so obvious. He is a host. He was a Bachelor back in the day. He works with ABC. He's on ESPN. He hosted The Ultimate Surfer. He hosted The Proposal. I think he was just waiting for Chris Harrison to flub so he could step in. But then it's also woe because while it makes sense on paper, it is slightly confusing to me overall because he was The Bachelor back in like 2004. The show has changed quite a bit. I just don't know if he, you know, is the best choice. I think it's a safe choice. He's a former football player. The new Bachelor has some football ties, but it's kind of boring. And he's kind of basically just Chris Harrison again. And I was hoping for maybe a two Bachelor duo, the same way we had Caitlin and Tayshia step up for The Bachelorette to get a little bit more like deep and like girl talk, but boy chats. And I think this is just going to be very standard. He's very well spoken and I'm sure he'll be just fine. But I was looking for a different direction, but at the same time, this is so obvious and I can't believe I didn't think it.
Well, he's boring and that makes me go woe too, Sarah. Gwen Flamberg, what made you go woe this week?
Well, guys, it's kind of like a double woe because first I totally went woe when I saw Duchess Kate, nay Kate Middleton, step out on that No Time to Die red carpet wearing a glamorous golden Jenny Packham gown. I mean, she looked like a literal queen, which is funny because one day she will be the literal queen. But then the comparison came out that actually it was a nod to a dress that Princess Diana wore to the 1985 premiere of another Bond movie. I think it was A View to a Kill. Princess Diana wore a dress that was almost the same cut, the same color palette. And, you know, as we've seen often, Duchess Kate does pay homage to her late mother-in-law, Princess Diana, by wearing her jewels and in many other ways with fashion. And of course, you guys, you can read all about this current homage and also check out all of the past times that Duchess Kate has dressed like Princess Diana on usmagazine.com/stylish.
Wait, Speaking of royals, that dress. I love that dress too, Travis. She looked amazing. But amazing. I should have made my whoa the fact that I saw Harry and Meghan in person just days ago.
Now, wait a second. You saw them at the Global Citizen concert, right, Sarah?
I did.
How close did you actually get to them? Like, I need feet. I need to know, like, did you see Meghan Markle's, like, could you tell if she had a pimple?
No, I definitely could not tell if she had a pimple, but I did see them like before they went on stage, like they were standing and I was like on the side that they came out on and they were holding hands. They were like, she was like smiling. They were like ready for their freaking close up and the crowd like loved them. It was when he called her wife and everyone like went nuts. Like he just announced like the biggest thing on the planet. Meanwhile, a few hours later when Bill de Blasio came out, he was booed up the wazoo. So Meghan and Harry very well loved amongst in New York and you know, taking their job very seriously, very like lovey from what I could see behind the scenes. So it was fascinating to, you know, be at anywhere, breathe the same air as them, really.
Listen, I mean, I am all for them as a couple. I would actually like, if I had been in your position, Sarah, I might have fainted. Like I might have just been dead on the spot. You would have had to mop me up. But also, aren't they being filmed for one of their Netflix documentaries? So it's, Is it real? Is it for show? Is it a little bit of both?
I was like feeling the love. I was feeling the love and you know, whatever. And I've always said, I think we both agreed on this. We have issues with Meghan and Harry sometimes and how they handle things. But my biggest takeaway from that interview, besides all the scandal, was that they love each other so much. Like they, whether it's, you know, however it happened and whatever, they are infatuated with each other. And that kind of came out also on the stage. So it was,
well, she has managed to succeed in doing something that I think, you know, some people try to do in a relationship, which is to kind of take their significant other as their own and build this kind of wall around them so that it's them against the world. Mm-hmm. And she's really managed to do that. And I think that that's part of like their, you know, some might call it codependency. I don't know.
Wow.
Definitely love. Codependency. Maybe codependency.
What made me not go whoa was that every single outfit Meghan Markle wears and the Kate Middleton wears is an ode to Princess Diana. Every single one. So it is, it's lovely, but really, really not shocking to me. I think I've seen that headline, you know, at least 200 times in the last year. Yeah. Well,
also,
why
was Meghan wearing so many coats in New York? It was very
It's her
hot
look. She's monochromatic, wearing coats. It wasn't even hot, but that is her look and she is sticking to it. All right. Well, my woe is from Shakira. You may know Shakira from
Shakira.
Yes, from Shakira. Shakira, her hips do not lie. And just being an amazing singer and having a really interesting vocal tone. But that's not what made me go woe this week at all. She was accosted by two wild boars who made off with her handbag. Yeah, she went on Instagram and posted some stories and she says, quote, they destroyed everything. She said she was attacked by two piffering pigs, some gigantic wild boars, which can get up to 800 to 1200 pounds, which attacked her while she was in a park in Barcelona with her 8-year-old son, Milan. So the she-wolf singer, just had to get that in there, took her bag into the woods with her phone in it. And then she turned to her son and she says, Milan, tell the truth. Show how your mommy stood up to the wild boar. And apparently she fought back the wild boar a little bit and protected her family. And that just made me go, whoa, because it's not very often that pop stars get in fights with two wild boars. So thank you for that, Shakira. Let us move into some news of the week. Cue the confetti cannons because Britney is free. I wish we had lots of sound effects because I'd hit every single one on the board. Yes, I mean, Britney still has a little bit way to go. Her next court hearing where her conservatorship is officially removed without anyone being in charge is coming up. But the biggest step in the case has been taken this week when her dad was suspended, love that word, exiled, maybe the court should use, as her conservator. Early this year, her dad, Jimmy Spears, you know, filed court documents announcing that he was going to step down from being her conservator. But now the judge has suspended him, kicked him to the curb. And guys, I'm just so happy about this victory for Britney Spears. She posted an Instagram with Sam from a plane, said she was flying on cloud nine, flying in the clouds. Sam posted support for her. And it's really just really just a lovely story. Gwen Flamberg, where were you when you heard the news that you will never forget?
I'm just so happy for Brittany. I'm so happy that this, you know, it kind of turned out the way that those of us who are part of the Free Brittany movement wanted it to, and kind of faster than I expected it to. So I'm just thrilled, and I hope that now Brittany takes this freedom and uses it responsibly.
Very good point. Sarah Huron, Free Brittany semi-advocate, how do you feel?
Oh, first of all, are you kidding? I'm such an advocate. That was so rude. I was working, so there's that. Thank you, Brittany, for, you know, the late court call. I am obviously very happy for Brittany. I watched the update to Framing Britney Spears, Controlling Britney Spears. It's definitely worth watching. The guy who worked for their security is in it. There's a lot of interesting claims about how she was monitored and tracked and stuff. I can't wait to watch Britney versus Spears on Netflix. I haven't watched that one yet. And obviously super happy for Brittany. I have all the faith in the world that she's going to handle this well. She's going to be the queen she is. And I just like a snaps to her lawyer, who I saw a tweet like 40 days, he did what her other lawyer couldn't do in 13 years. So shout out to him. He is a true advocate for Brittany and a boss lawyer. Elle Woods vibes for Matthew. Thank you for your service.
I love Matthew. We need to get him on a t-shirt. And Controlling Britney Spears was an amazing documentary from the New York Times on Hulu. I did watch Britney versus Spears. It's not as good as the Hulu one. Okay. It's just not as dramatic, but it's fun to watch both. But if you're looking for a light pick-me-up, I wouldn't watch either because they are both very, very, very depressing. Sarah, do you hear that ring? Do you hear that ringing? Because I think Wen is calling you and he wants your heart, ? So Sarah Huron, please dissect this non-grammatically correct English sentence and tell it why it really means Aunt Becky is back, bitch.
He's back, bitch. Just like Hallmark Channel wants us to say, Aunt Becky's back, bitch. Yes, Lori Loughlin, you guys, it is 2021. The fall of 2021 is the year of the Loughlin-Giannulli family as Olivia Jade tackles Dancing with the Stars, which we'll get to in a second. Lori is heading to Canada. She is going to reprise her role as Abigail from When Calls the Heart. She is not appearing on When Calls the Heart because turns out that show got a spinoff that nobody knew about. And it airs on GAC Family, which is an affiliate of Hallmark. And it is called, of course, When Hope Calls. So she will be playing her same character,
Abigail. Thank goodness.
Hope is calling, baby. She will be playing her same character with, I'm sure, just as much heart as she would on When Calls the Heart, and extra hope, because she is going to appear in the two-part premiere, When Hope Calls a Country Christmas, which will hit GAC Family in December. And she got permission from the judge to travel to Canada. She is there right now. And a source tells us that Lori is very excited about this return. She, quote, can't wait to get back to work. She's been waiting for a long time to get back on set. She's looking forward to the future and is ready to film When Calls the Heart.
Well, I actually reached out to Sarah Huron for comment because this is a huge day for you. So Sarah Huron, tell us now live, how do you feel?
I mean, again, I've never seen When Calls the Heart or When Hope Calls, although I am a frequent Hallmark Channel viewer. I just miss those episodes. But honestly, hot take, I'm happy for Lori. She did her time. She paid her fees. It's you know, I don't think we should be handing her an Oscar or a humanitarian award anytime soon, but
there's
never
any risk of that.
Right. I think it's okay for her to film this Hallmark spinoff. The fans want her. If you look at the comments, there are people celebrating. You got Candace Cameron Bure celebrating. A bunch of the Hallmark people are celebrating. She clearly was very beloved on the set of these shows. And I think it's okay for her to reprise her role as Abigail Stanton. I really do. What do you think?
Well, Gwen, has enough time passed? Are we as a country, as a nation, as a culture, ready to forgive Lori Loughlin and see her back where she belongs and is happiest with her friend Wen calling to her heart? And
I can't speak for the whole country, you guys, but I personally, like, I'm not ready to forgive. Like, what she did was terrible. And I just think that she should sort of go away. Like, I think that you should just kind of, like, concentrate on being a mom now.
Wow.
I don't know. While I agree with Gwen that it was, you know, horrible, she really was just trying to cheat the system and screw other kids' lives for the sake of her children.
Exactly. So and using like her privilege in the meanwhile.
And using her privilege. Yeah. But it's like, you know, would any other parent in that situation have done any different? Hopefully they would so they can stay out of jail. But I'm sort of ready to forgive Lori Loughlin now.
Okay. Short memories, y'all. Have.
Yeah, I know. I mean, always. But also, it's interesting. I really just want Lori to show up to Dancing with the Stars. We still have not seen her. And Felicity Huffman filmed a pilot like a year ago, and I know her crimes weren't as bad, but she's getting to be like on ABC. Everything's working out the way it should. Karma is doing its job. Felicity gets to go back to ABC, and Lori has to stay on the Hallmark Channel's affiliate channel. She's not even getting a movie. She's getting a small part in the Wind Calls the Heart spinoff that doesn't even air on Hallmark. Like, you know, it's I think it's okay.
It's throwing her a little bone. Let's go to a couple who sources tell us are not doing so well that we on the Hot Hollywood podcast saw miles away. Olivia Munn and John Mulaney. A source told us that John and Olivia are happy together as a couple, but things are moving fast, too fast for either of them. And this has caused a little rift in their relationship. The baby came out of left field and hit them like a ton of bricks. Neither was expecting this to happen. There's a little strain, but they're not on the verge of a breakup. Friends aren't sure of Olivia's due date or when they really seem to have got together, but things seem to have overlapped romantically with his ex-wife still in the picture more than they are letting on. John and Olivia are currently living together and working through it and are probably going to be okay, but this is causing a little bit of a rift. Now, we knew from judging baby bumps professionally that the time frames didn't quite work out with how far along she's due, and sources tell us this is causing a little bit of a rift. Sarah Huron, I know you're not surprised, but what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, this is about the least surprising information on the planet. You know, as I think I've said this before, but whenever a baby or a child is going to be involved, it's tough. So I don't wish bad things for this unborn child, but at the same time, I mean, Olivia Munn, her track record speaks for itself. And obviously, John Mulaney has had a wild year in and out of substance abuse treatment and getting divorced and now becoming a dad. I think this is a recipe for, you know, maybe not the easiest happily ever after.
Can I pipe in here, you guys? All right. Please. One thing we can definitively say about Olivia Munn and John Mulaney without casting any aspersions is that they are both adults and they both have high IQs. These are two smart individuals. And like, you know, the stork doesn't just drop off a baby. You know what I'm saying? They were seeing each other. They were sleeping together. She got pregnant and they decided to have the baby. It's that simple. And yes, things seem to be moving quite fast. Nobody really knows the timeline of any of it, but like, let's not blame it on nobody saw this coming, you know? Like, come on, guys, buck up. You're two smart grown-ups. You were sleeping together. You got pregnant. You decided to have the baby. If you're not connecting as a couple, that's because you haven't been a couple yet, but like, call a spade a spade.
See, I think that they are so smart, documented, proven, but I think their EQ, their emotional intelligence is a little lower than other people's. They seem a little bit, they're sort of awkward, nerdy weirdos. And I think that the emotional part of this has sort of fallen behind the intellectual part of this. And I'm a little worried for them. The baby's going to be fine. They're both amazing people. I know they're going to be great parents. I just don't, like the source said, don't know if they will be together for the baby.
I mean, it's also, it's like, not to age shame, but she's like in her early 40s. So if she wanted to have a child, you know, this could have been the time, right? And she was willing to take the risk.
Which is great. Which is awesome. But then don't blame the baby and like why, you know, your relationship might not be exactly what you wanted it to be. Like, you know, she probably did get pregnant and see it as an opportunity to become a mother. And all right, so let's see where it goes. And maybe they'll stay together and maybe they won't.
Great. Well, babies always heal all relationships. So let's see if this one works for that. Well, let's go again to the A-list. We have Angelina Jolie spotted with The Weeknd again, a couple that I am fascinated about, mainly just because they're from two different worlds and the age gap, and I just never would have guessed them together, but I sort of really like it and hope it's true. Mm-hmm. Well, a source told us that both Angie and Abel, The Weeknd's real name, in case y'all didn't know, are telling people that they're just friends, but those who know them think something romantic is going on. Angie lights up when she talks about him, and Abel is in awe of Angelina. Right now, this is just a friendship, but friends believe things could turn romantic for them. The source continues, Angie is playing down the talk of anything serious, but she's definitely warming towards Abel, and he's been pouring on the charm and going out of his way to impress her. Now, I think we should throw it back to a little sink or ship. Gwen Flamberg, The Weeknd and Angelina Jolie, sink or ship this possible new couple.
I'm sailing away. Shippity ship. I'm into this couple. I think that he's a smart dude, obviously a high EQ. We were just touching on that. She's usually interested at this point in her life in people with super substance. And I don't know, I kind of like that these two are taking it slow, are becoming special friends before it develops into something that they'll tag as romantic. But I don't know, I kind of dig it. And like, I don't know, with Abel, he always is with the hottest human. So like,
yes,
whatever this guy has, I'd be interested in getting intimate with it.
Sarah Huron, what about you? Are you looking to the date The Weeknd and find out why he does date all of the hottest women in Hollywood?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't not ship. I am a little confused, but sometimes that's the best pairings. I love a left field moment. And now more than ever, I think Bella Hadid should shoot her shot with Brad Pitt.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting.
Well, but she has a long-term boyfriend too.
Yeah. Ooh. It's not who I would like to see Brad Pitt with.
Well, I just
he's a fashion-y guy.
But I do have to interject, guys. I've got to interject because speaking of super hot people in Hollywood, I was walking in Soho yesterday. Yeah. Exactly. I was walking in Soho yesterday and I saw Emily Ratajkowski's husband walking their dog. She was nowhere in sight, but he was walking their dog. And here's what I'm going to tell you. The dog is the biggest German Shepherd I have ever seen. And I don't know how she walks the dog. She's think so the dog little. Weighs more than she does.
An exclusive here at the Hot Hollywood Podcast. Whenever I see him, I get so weirded out because she did the thing that Naya Rivera did where she broke up with a fiance, kept the wedding date, and then married a new guy who looks exactly like the other guy. It is so strange that happened twice in 1 year.
You know what's so funny also is someone just sent me a TikTok that was like, check on your pop culture friend to us to give you all the information. Like there's that girl is the one who knows Emily Ratajkowski's husband's name and like no one else does, like whatever, or something like that. And I was like, yeah, of course, his name is Sebastian. Like,
yeah,
I knew it right away.
Of course, I get him confused with the other one, but happy for Sebastian and their gigantic German Shepherd. I promised you non-binary pansexual alien encounters, and that's what I will deliver. Yes, we are talking about Demi Lovato in their new unscripted Peacock series because we needed an 11th documentary from them. Demi took to Joshua Tree, a lovely place, one of my favorite places, and they were with their sister Dallas and their skeptical best friend Matthew, and they attempted to uncover the truth about UFO phenomena by meeting alien abductees, investigating eyewitness encounters, and digging up secret government reports. Luckily, Demi is on the case. So Demi spoke to Entertainment Weekly and they asked what, you know, sparked their interest in UFOs. And Demi said, I had a pretty profound experience on my 28th birthday. I made alien contact and it was pretty mind-blowing. Ever since I've started to look into this more and I wanted to do a show about it. Don't worry, they get into it more. We were stargazing and we tried to do this protocol where you make contact and all of a sudden something showed up directly above the sky. It was huge lights that made a question mark almost in the sky. And then it just like blacked out. I realized that in my life was probably going to change in a spiritual way because if I have a spiritual connection to this journey as well. Love a spiritual connection to aliens. Why not? They Entertainment Weekly asked if they were freaked out. She says, you would think I'd be freaked out, but what I have found in these experiences is the love. There is no fear. The feeling when you get with these beans is so warm and loving and accepting that you're just overwhelmed with joy. Sarah Heron, what are your thoughts on Demi Lovato's possibly romantic but definitely joyous alien encounter in Joshua Tree?
There's nothing I need less in this world than more Demi Lovato content and Demi Lovato alien content. I just simply do not care. I have not cared about aliens since the episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians when Khloe and Tristan tried to find a UFO. That was about as much as I could take. And I don't know who keeps giving Demi Lovato television shows, but they need to reevaluate their decisions. And that is my hot take.
I absolutely agree with that. There are too many documentaries, maybe like a song, maybe an acting role, just something that's less about you.
Yeah.
Gwen Flamberg, have you had any alien encounters while on vacation?
I've never had any alien encounters, Travis, but I will tell you that once I saw a ghost and I did feel like I knew that I actually had really seen the ghost because I didn't feel fear. I felt this kind of like warm, loving thing. So I think that they are a bit confused and what they saw out there in Joshua Tree was a ghost, not an alien.
Wow.
But also every time they
controversial. How are you so brave?
Demi Lovato might fight you like they fought that frozen yogurt place.
It's very, very possible. Every time they come out with something a bit, you know, left of center like this, I just worry about them. So good luck, Demi.
Well, before we get into lesbian space communes, Sarah Heron, why don't you tell us all about Dancing with the Stars and the new dancing queen, not ABBA, it is Olivia Jade.
You guys, Dancing with the Stars week two, they all were really good again. Not as good, honestly, as the premiere. I think everyone's nerves maybe were getting to them after the competition was heating up. But obviously, we lost the Karate Kid as our first eliminated contestant since he could barely walk. God bless Martin Cove or whatever. But now I actually don't know who's going to go next. I think that there is interesting. It's going to be the fan bases, see who shows up. And there was this controversy based on this blind gossip item that Olivia Jade struck some deal with ABC to be on the show till at least week three. So this tweet went out that said Olivia Jade supposedly has a deal to stay on for at least 3 weeks without being in danger, hashtag Dancing with the Stars. And Robert Mills, who is like the head of like special programming at ABC, he does Bachelor stuff, he does Dancing with the Stars stuff, all those like summer shows that you're watching that are ridiculous, he is in charge of. And he responded, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. The show is a competition and as such is subject to legal and broadcast standard regulations. So shutting that down, glad he shut it down, but of course it just made more attention onto Olivia, who controversy seemingly follows, and now I'm sure people are more convinced than ever is on the show with some fake deal.
I don't understand.
But here's the thing. It's like, don't people phone in who goes home? How can they strike a deal for her to stay? Is there like evidence that if they praise her, people won't phone her in?
Is all just a claim that they are going to like rig the votes. Like if Olivia was in the bottom two, they wouldn't announce it. I just don't think that's true. It's only week one. And the bottom two was exactly what you would expect. It was Martin Cove, who couldn't dance, and the girl from Bling Empire, because I don't even remember her name.
Christine Chu.
It obviously had a moment, but I don't think she has the fan base. And it's the same thing.
I am a Christine Chu fan.
I don't know. I think that Christine Chu has a huge, Bling Empire had a huge following. And I think that there is probably a big cult following for her.
They're watching Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
I don't know,
it's Reality Nation. It's people who were really into Bling Empire. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. You know, you're the reality queen. I actually put all of my trust into you, Sarah Heron.
Wow. Same.
When you speak of these things.
Thank you so much. I'm very intrigued to see how far Olivia does go and if Lori will grace us with her presence in the ballroom. I'm thinking maybe she won't, honestly, which I think is upsetting after not coming from. The first 2 weeks are the only guaranteed. Like if Olivia went home first, she would have missed her chance. And now she's in Canada shooting When Hope Calls the Hardys of whatever. So will she show up? I just don't know. But, you know, waiting for Olivia this week, instead of talking about the college cheating scandal, she did her partner Val's makeup for a vlog. So that was exciting for me to watch, you know.
Oh, yeah. Getting back to her roots. We love to see it. And I don't know why I really want Lori Loughlin to go watch Dancing with the Stars, but I don't want Lori and Massimo together. I feel like that's too much. I don't want Massimo to leave his house. I don't know why I've forgiven Lori, but not have forgiven Massimo. I can't quantify it and it makes no sense, but he's not forgiven.
I kind of feel it.
I think it's because he acted when he was in jail versus how she did.
Yeah, he tried to get out early, and the recordings or the emails that are alleged, encounters with the guidance counselor, he was just so rude. Lori and Olivia, obviously, I'm sure they were in the know and it still was wrong, but they kind of seemed to be following Massimo's lead.
Let's move on to a lesbian space commune. So we know that Elon Musk and Grimes have split up after giving birth to their child, who no one can pronounce their name because it's just look it up. A lot of couples divide up assets. A lot of couples divide up, the house, the cars, the kids, but Grimes and Elon are dividing up space. And Grimes exclusively told Page Six via email that she will be colonizing one of Jupiter's moons. She says that Elon has given her one of these moons for her lesbian space commune. It's hopefully a little bit of a joke with Elon Musk getting a SpaceX contract with NASA for $178 million to help them reach Jupiter's moons. And apparently he's going to give that to Grimes to start a lesbian space commune. Do we support this dividing of moons, space? It's just a weird story, but
I don't understand. I don't understand Grimes and Elon Musk. I never understood them. I don't get it. I don't get what they named their child. I don't get, is this her telling us that she's pansexual and that's what broke up the marriage? But obviously they're going to co-parent on Jupiter. They just confuse me. And I don't even really find it amusing.
Oh, see, I love a co-parenting on Jupiter. Sarah Heron, I can tell by your face that you have no feelings towards this story at all.
Whatever I said about Demi Lovato, insert their names.
Okay, great. Well, our last story, I think you're going to like a little bit more because it's Khloe Kardashian who clapped back, or more responded to a fan who said that she was banned from the Met Gala. Someone on Twitter suggested that Khloe had been banned from the Met Gala. And then Khloe individually they tagged Khloe, and then she clarified that it is absolutely not true. She said she is not banned from this. But what I really found interesting about this story was that it was such a self-read. It was like, I haven't been banned from the Met Gala. I've just never been invited, was the sort of subtext of that tweet. And it just made me really sad that she chose to respond to that. She's like, oh no, I haven't been banned. Just no one's asked me. Please get that right. Thank you. Sarah Heron, do you think that Khloe deserves to go to the Met Gala? Because I sort of do.
Yeah, I totally do. I don't think it makes sense at this point to exclude any Kardashian Jenner from an event that's about influence and fashion and style. Khloe's style is certainly, I would say, maybe the most questionable amongst the family. Yes. She has still makes some wild choices. But at the same time, I think she deserves a shot. I would love to see all five of them walk together because Courtney's never been either. And I would thought her and Travis would be there this year. They weren't. And I would love to see a Kardashian moment, maybe all dressed in the same designer, walking together, maybe bring Northwest also just for fun.
I would love that too. Gwen, is that allowed on your red carpet at the Met Gala, full Kardashians and children?
Why not? As we know, there are several celebrities who are asked to come and walk the red carpet, but maybe don't pay the $50,000 plate fee. I would love to see actually all the kids. I find the kids the most interesting and also the best dressed of the whole family. And for the record, I have met and chatted with pretty much every Kardashian. And I can tell you that Khloe is the one with the best personality. So absolutely. I don't see why Anna doesn't want her to entertain at a table. I think that maybe even in May she'll be in.
Ooh, yeah. If I were going to sit down at a table with any of them, having spoken to them, it is absolutely Khloe.
Yeah, she's the fun one.
Do you guys know what it's time for? Celebrity birthday boxing mania.
Yeah. I have a lot of aggression today and I'm excited to get it out.
Oh yeah, we're going to get it out. Well, the first bout is to you, Gwen Flamberg. We have the other Gwen, Gwen Stefani, who is turning 52 this week, versus Julie Andrews, who is 85 this week.
I would love to give it to Julie Andrews because, you know, she is a pop culture icon and still strong at 85. However, you know, next to Duchess Kate, Gwen Stefani is the literal queen. So, and at 52 with those rock hard abs, ding, 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 she is the winner.
Ding, ding, ding. Gwen Stefani making all of us under 60 years old feel terrible about our life choices and not looking as hot. Sarah Huron, next bout is to you. We have Kelly Ripa, who has a 50th birthday this week. Hey, versus Ashley Simpson, who is turning 36 this week.
Okay, well, you know, Ashley Simpson is like everything to me. So, yes. While Kelly Ripa is probably in better shape than any of us at 50 and in theory would win, I'm giving it to Ashley Simpson because she is the queen of my heart and this ring.
Makes me want to la-la. Gwen Flamberg, we have some queens of the 90s in our last round. Nev Campbell is 47 versus Rachel Lee Cook, who is 41.
Oh, this is a tough one. And I don't think that they ever appeared scantily clad in a pool making out. That wasn't that duo. That was Nev Campbell and somebody.
Denise Richards.
Was it Denise Richards in that film?
Sure anyway, was. Wild Things. Watch it, kids.
You know, Rachel Lee Cook, she would be a wild card to win this battle, but I just don't think that she has it in her. I'm going to give it to Nev Campbell.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
Party at five. Ding,
party
ding.
At five. Sarah Huron, this all-ladies bout has turned into a last-minute menagerie of fighting. Gwen Stefani, 52, versus Ashley Simpson, 36, and Nev Campbell, 47. Who is taking the crown for you today?
I'm talking about love. L-O-V-E. I love you, Ashley Simpson. You win everything to me.
We love her. I'm glad she got to save the best nose job in Hollywood. Really support her, not poking fun, not a joke, just a fact.
Facts are facts.
Well, facts are facts, and Ashley Simpson looks great. Well, thank you so much to my co-hosts, Sarah and Gwen, for helping me spill all of this piping hot celebrity this week. Again, this is Travis Cronin on Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood podcast with your weekly peek into the glamour, glitter, fashion, fame of your favorite celebrities. After all,
they're just like
us. All right. See if we do better next week. Thanks, guys.